Welcome to Big Blend Radio's art show featuring Victoria Chick, a contemporary figurative artist and early 19th and 20th century print collector. Welcome, everybody. Today we get to have some humor in art and art history. This is so much fun because you know what? When you look at art, you know, we're going to talk predominantly visual art today. You look at art and some art can make you feel angry. Some can make you feel sad. Some can make you feel nostalgic. Some could just have a connection, leave you in awe of beauty, right? Then some makes you, you know, do that little smirk. You know, that you could be in that gallery setting and, you know, suddenly go, huh, what is that guy or that lady thinking when she put this together? And that's what we're talking about on the show today with, of course, artist Victoria Chick. She's got an article and we're going to talk about the images that she's featuring in the article from these various three different artists. So I encourage you to go to the show notes and click on the link there so you can see the article and look at the images that we're going to be talking about. And you can go to blendradioandtv.com for that too. And just type in humor art Victoria Chick and you'll find the article there. So welcome back, Victoria. How are you doing?
Oh, thank you, Lisa. I'm very glad to be back. We're finally getting a day here that doesn't have snow in it. And the sun is shining. It's really, really pretty.
That's it. I mean, Nancy and I just drove through New Mexico in the Southwest, and I tell you what, the West managed to get a lot of snow, ice, and all kinds of good stuff. So I think the West is going to have a good spring and a good summer and some wildflowers, which is exciting, and some water, most important.
I'm sure you're right, and we're very happy about the water.
Yeah, you know, this is the centennial for the Gila Wilderness area, right, this year. And
yes.
And the, you know, Gila National Forest and the wilderness area. And I was thinking about the Gila River. And so the Gila River is going to probably do a little bit better this year, I think, with all the snow. I'm hoping.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We'll have the good thing about snow is that it melts slowly. If you have a huge rain and you might get a couple inch rain, which sounds really great and is, but it runs off quickly. And so having the snow melt slowly over a period of time puts it in the ground where it belongs, as far as we think here in New Mexico, because we are always, it seems like, short of water. So we're looking forward to the spring.
I dig it. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to spring. I'd like to see some wildflowers now and some sunshine. We got a sunny day. We're in Lubbock, Texas right now, and the sun is out and melting the snow, and it melts quickly. It really does. I mean, the sun in the West is so much different than up in the Midwest, as you know. You know the Midwest.
Yes,
you
I
know?
Do.
It's so funny. I was just doing a whole playlist of Kansas interviews. And every search I did, here comes Victoria, 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 because of your credentials. Yeah, because of, you know, you studied and you lived in Kansas City. So everything was Victoria, Victoria, Victoria. You know, crazy weather being from the Midwest, you know?
Well, I guess the expression in the Midwest, if you don't like the weather, wait a few minutes and it'll change.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some humor here, because I know you love cartoons and I know you like humor. Nancy and I certainly do. We all love comedy. And I actually, one of the reasons I'm really glad about this topic and everything you're talking about in today is all clean humor. So everyone, don't worry. But, you know, comedians are getting attacked left, right, and center by all kinds of people. And I think it's very important that we rise up and support humor in the arts. And I think we all could use a little laugh here and there in the world, no matter how bad it is out there. If you don't have some humor, it's hard to move forward. And with this, you know, a comedian can get up on stage and perform and the bit is there. Maybe it's, you know, recorded on a Netflix special or Hulu or whatever, or, you know, these albums, you know, and people remember stuff, but there's something about visual art. You know, even, you know, there's comics, there's comic books, there's cartoons, but something about a painting or an actual picture that you put on your wall that is humorous to me is like, you've put it in, you've put it in print instead of pencil. Do you know what I mean? to do it.
Yes.
That's it. If it doesn't
I
work, it's a
love.
permanent bomb, you know?
Well, we hope not. I know what you mean about cartoons. I look at them every day. Mike and I look at cartoons while we eat breakfast on the computer, and like you say, they're there for a second and then they're gone. And every once in a while, I'll see one that I try to save because it really reaches me. But we tend to they're kind of like throwaways in a way. Which is kind of sad because I think cartoonists are geniuses. Excuse me, Lisa. They put so much into their work. I mean, think of how many cartoons they draw in a week. How hard is it to come up with that much humor that's going to reach everybody for just a second? And sometimes it doesn't seem fair. But when you see something very humorous, that's framed nicely and hanging on a wall, people always stop to look at it. I think I don't know if it's because they just like humor or because it's so unusual for a humorous thing to be enshrined, as it were, on a wall. So it is interesting. I think it's an interesting topic for today.
I love this idea. It's to me, when you think about just some humor, cracking a smile, but you're doing this permanent thing that's on the wall where you're standing up. You've
Right.
always talked about the integrity of art, right? And an artist
Right.
being pure, and there's this difference between a commission, and sometimes when you have a commission, you can still be exactly who you are. And that, I think, is when you have a commission from a true art collector who already knows your work and has some idea that it's almost like a co-creative process. Hope I'm saying this correctly, but sometimes you can be commissioned to something like public art that we always talk about, right?
Sure.
And you've talked about artists who said, "Well, I'm doing it my way," and even if people have to walk around my sculpture and you don't want them to walk around that way, that's how it is. The art must go the way the art must go. And with this art, to me, where it's humor, it's like I'm having integrity for what I think is funny. And I, people may not quite get it, and yet, well, I think everything you've got, the artists that you've talked about are funny. We've got Edward Abrams, and I want to talk about him. You've got Lund, and Lund doesn't have a first name, apparently. That's
Well,
only funny
I'm
there.
sure he does. I'm sure Lund
Yeah.
has the first name. I just never heard it or saw it written, and I can't find anything about Mr. Lund or Ms.
See, but
Lund as
or yeah, see, so that's like Cher did the same thing, and so did Prince, the
the
musician. I'm having one name, and that's it. I'm Lund, that's it. And then Philip Evergood. But these, all of them have actual pictures that you can hang and have, and everyone, please look at the images. I know some of it is in the podcast art too, but they're funny, and to play it out. To actually, while they're creating, do you think they were chuckling through the whole thing? One of them, Edward Abrams, is, being a 4-H club member, and he did the one pointless meeting at the 4-H club, and he's got all these pencils that haven't been sharpened yet. I thought that was funny.
No. Yes. Well, I'm a 4-H. I was a 4-H club member. I don't know if he was or not, but if he wasn't a 4-H club member, he understands the 4-H mentality. I really love that drawing that I have of his.
Tell everybody what the 4-H Club is, just in case they don't know.
Well, 4-H Club, hands, heart, health, and something else. Anyway, so it's an organization of kids, and but they go up to they can go up through the college age, and they started out probably as a farm organization. So it's basically a rural group, and they do projects. They raise animals. They raise food products. The idea is for them to learn how to grow things, how to take care of things, how to tell the other people about what they do. So they get speaking experience in speaking to other people. They get they earn money, an amazing amounts of money sometimes through their own efforts in agricultural activity. So it's a big deal. It really is. It probably is. It's a bigger deal to people who live in rural areas than it is to people who live in a city, because they probably, you know, they have a harder time relating to the kinds of things that these kids do, which is basically they're like pint-sized farmers.
Oh, see, yeah.
But they're very serious. They learn about business. They learn about keeping records. You know, so all kinds of really good stuff comes out of 4-H.
Oh, well, hey, I've always heard about them mostly at a fair, like the state fair kind of thing.
That's where you will see them, you know, because state fair gives them an opportunity to demonstrate things. It gives them an opportunity to bring their animals to show them off, see how well they've done. One another thing that happens a lot at state fairs or county fairs is that the animals are judged, and the prize winning animals then are purchased by sometimes they're purchased by businesses, sometimes they're purchased by other agricultural organizations, larger organizations. So the kids have an opportunity to make thousands of dollars if they've done a good job during the year raising their animal.
So here it is. Hey, everybody, yeah. We're talking about the 4-H club. I have friends who raise like pigs and stuff.
We went off on that tangent really well.
I know. Listen, we could talk about farm animals. They're funny. Come on, farm animals have humor, and you better have humor with farm animals, because yeah, you need
that's
to.
True.
Because most of the time you're picking up duty. So I'm just saying, if you're on a
tell
farm, there's
it.
A duty to do, right?
Yeah.
I know, I know.
Yeah.
So Edward Abrams, so isn't he like from Southern California, as I recall?
Well,
like,
he lives, I don't know if I should tell where he lives. He lives outside of San Diego. And he's very active in the San Diego art community.
That's why he sounds familiar to me. It's like when you first brought him up, I'm like, he's familiar. How did is that how you got to know him? Is from when your time in California and in San Diego?
Yeah, I lived in Ramona, and he lived in a nearby town, and up the hill. So but the odd thing is, although I knew who he was and we had friends in common, I never met Ed Abrams. So I understand his wife was an illustrator also. So it's one that I'm sorry I never did. But I'm really thrilled to have some examples of his work.
Yeah, and so what's interesting about him too, I mean, because he does have that illustrator quality. And so he did a lot of, you know, back in the day of illustrations for magazines, and also
right.
Time magazine covers. You talk
right.
about
he did
him
a lot
doing
of those.
Album covers, portraits, but
yeah.
I want to get into this about him doing visual puns, because that is, yeah, I miss that. And I wonder, I hope we don't miss out on that in a culture that's Googled to death on a phone. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah.
Well, he originally hails from Cleveland, Ohio, and I went to the graduate school near there in Kent, at Kent State in Ohio. And one thing I found out about Cleveland, I mean, people make jokes about Cleveland. I don't know why, but there are a lot of Cleveland jokes running around. And
sure.
But Cleveland was a fabulous art community. They had so many artists that arose out of Cleveland. And I know you guys know that I'm an art collector, and I still always check out auctions in Cleveland because I'm always finding something really wonderful in an auction that I hope to get, and sometimes I do. But anyway, coming from Cleveland, he had a really great background because he went to the Cleveland Art Institute for one thing, and after he got when he got a little older, he you know in the 60s, let's say, the siren call to go to California was very strong, and so he wound up in Los Angeles area, and that was how he got connected with some of the record producers. So when the LPs and were in the heyday, before everything that we have now that records movies and music for us. He was doing big album covers, and he was especially noted for covers for classical albums.
Okay. So that's interesting, And the other part, just going to his art too, he's whimsical. I find like a
Yes.
whimsy with him. Does that make sense
Yeah.
with when you look at his work?
Oh yeah. Yeah. He's really imaginative. The one where the hair transplant, for instance, and you've got this, cartoon man, bald-headed cartoon man with a rabbit on his head, and as sort of a grotesque rabbit. So yeah, he's very funny. I hope that the images I sent you will convey the humor as I see them.
Yeah, and the other part too is, going back to the 4-H Club, it's four pencils. He goes all out
Yes.
with that.
Yes.
It's like, all right, here it is, But I really like the toad truck. That's funny. That's
Yes.
funny. I mean, that is the toad truck. And then here it is, a toad on, like, being the toad.
Well,
He's the
haven't you
tower.
heard people say that? I have heard people say that those exact words when they just mean a tow truck, but they slur it somehow, and it winds up the tow truck ought to be here pretty soon, So it always makes
It's funny. It's funny because it is.
yes.
It's like it becomes slang, but it's cute. That's where part of the whimsy comes in, It's kind of like, here's the
Right.
wind in the willows in a different way. It's a little slowed down, but he, we always talk about Ted DeGrazia's art out of Tucson,
Right.
who famous reproduced artist, and is passed now. But you can go to his museum and gallery there in Tucson. But for Christmas, he does all these cards, and I think this is where there's a connection. As soon as I saw the toad truck, I thought of Ted DeGrazia because of all the Christmas cards that you can get. And he has like Santa on being pulled by a roadrunner, like Santa's riding the roadrunner. And
Right.
there's like the cactus all lit up as a Christmas tree kind of thing. So he kind of had that humor of the Southwest doing Christmas and made it fun with what is around you, and it was fun. I mean, I always think that those are the coolest cards, and I think that's something about, Ed Abrams too, him having the history of working in, the world of greeting cards. You had to do something quick, short, effective. You had to get to people.
Yes.
You didn't ha you should not have to explain the joke.
Yeah. Well, it's part of that is the ability never to lose. I've heard this, said, so it's not original, but you don't lose your sense of childlike wonder. And I don't know whether we'd call this wonder, but I think there's a you that not everybody has the ability to express themselves humorously. But everybody looks at their work and they say, "Oh gosh, that is so funny," or why didn't I think of that?" But people we tend to get serious as we get older. And I guess we have to, but you still have that little closet in your head where you keep all the toys. And
I like that. I like that.
I think that's a wonderful thing, a wonderful characteristic to have.
Well, Edward Abrams, didn't part of his start to art was seeing Henri Matisse work, which is interesting,
Yes.
to go from Matisse to his,
Yeah.
that's an interesting connection to think
Well,
about.
it is. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, Matisse. Wow. I want to go see like Matisse, like a whole like
Well,
museum.
Matisse is a guy who is like Abrams. I mean, he was doing childlike things. I mean, cutting colored paper out. Most artists wouldn't see that as a serious art material, but he did. And and so people really love the shapes that he came up with and put together now. But he was, at the time he did it, he was really being inventive, and he was pulling out his child, I think, from in doing that.
Well, he looks so stern. Matisse is he looks very cross, as we'd say in England. Kind of
Right.
an angry person, you know what I mean? But
Yeah.
yet at the same time he's got this humor. So how much of that was sarcasm, you know?
Well, yeah, that's true. Or he may
Yeah.
have just been tired of people bugging him
Well, yeah, exactly. You
while he
will.
was trying to play. He was trying to
Yeah, you
play,
know
you
what?
know.
Exactly. We shouldn't be looking at people really at their portraits, their photos, because
So.
it could just be like the photographer annoyed him. Stand here, do this. And the artist in him says, no, I'm going to do it
Yeah.
this way. Give me my crayons back, you bully.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, no. So let's talk about Lund, the one named man. You have this
Okay.
picture, the exploding hat. This is a trip because it's just kind of like this. This okay, I can see why this resonates with you in your art because it's that figurative moment, right? So this is contemporary figurative art, right? Just in
Oh,
looking
yes.
at this. Okay, explain that to people because I always tell people, no, Victoria is not a cat artist. She is an artist who captures those moments in between time of things
Well,
happening.
I really was attracted to this. First of all, the whole thing is so ludicrous. because it's a two-part composition, as you see in the image, and something happens between the parts. The characters change positions. The hat flies off, for instance. I call it the exploding hat. I'm not sure what he called it, but Mr. Lund is a kind of a blank to me. I wish I had met him because he may have done more along this line of humor. But he was working with a silk screen, and or sometimes called a serigraph, and that's an interesting, somewhat uncontrolled medium. They try to
Oh,
control
wow.
it with a stencil. You take a stencil, or you have a silk screen, which is like a wooden picture frame, and you stretch silk, very, very high quality silk, over the frame. So it's very tight. I mean, if you wrapped it, it would sound like a little bit like a drum. So it's very tight. And then you turn it over so that the silk is on the side away from the frame. And you they put ink they put a stencil on there, and the stencil can be adhesive, something that will stick to it, or it can be some kind of material like a shellac that you block certain areas out, so that when you are ready to put the paint, the ink, I should say, it feels like paint because it is so thick. You put that ink into the frame, and then you use this like a squeegee, and you force it through the holes in the weave of the silk, and a certain amount comes out and a certain amount doesn't. So anyway, it's not exactly a clean process. So
Yeah,
you
it's
don't have
not
to
digital,
experience.
people. This is not a digital thing. It's not a
No.
drag and drop on your computer. Yeah.
So anyway, that's how he did that particular
Well,
print.
what's
And
interesting
you
because
can do it many times. Yeah.
it's interesting
Go
how he
ahead.
did it because it's like it's you know, when the head does explode, I mean, you don't have the blue tie anymore. It's kind of this hole,
Yeah.
and the
Yeah.
blue, to me, I wonder if the blue was added on later. You
No,
know?
it wasn't. Yeah.
Oh.
They might have done it. I think they did it. They might have blocked some out and then removed it, or might have even done it first. And so you can move your, you can put something down, and then you can wait till it dries on silk, and then you can put another stencil down, if you see if your silk is still clean, is clean enough. So,
Huh. You
course,
have to keep it
there's not
clean.
a, yeah, keep it clean, Lisa. I've always said that. Anyway,
It's so funny looking at the expression, the facial expression, the eyes.
well,
I mean, I'm going back and
first of
forth.
all, yeah,
Go ahead.
it's like the premise of the joke is you have a man's body and with the head of a cat. I mean, that in itself
It's funny.
is, to me was maybe look. And then you've got this exploding hat, which, I mean, I'm sure just talking about it, it's one of those things where you really have to be there, or you really have to see it,
The cat in the
because
hat,
you
the
can,
cat in the hat.
yeah.
It's and the cat lost the hat. And
Right.
I know, like you're saying, the body and the cat almost is going, it's almost a rat in a weird way. Like there's almost this look, but the facial, the eyes, it's interesting because it's like it goes into when you think about old cartoons, how they made a move with those little books, you
Yeah.
know, where
Yes.
you'd flip
Yeah.
through and then it would make the motion of, which is
Yep.
to be able to do that in your brain, like that's way ahead of my pay
Yeah.
scale. Like, whoa, like you guys are thinking each step that Donald Duck did. You know what I mean? The
Yes.
animation
But
part.
that's that. Yes, and that's an. You just said a phrase that I connect with, because your brain does the work. I mean, the artist has put this stuff down, but your brain is sophisticated enough to read everything that's happened between the pictures.
Yeah,
So
and that's the cool thing.
your brain completes the action.
But that's a good thing. That means it's that, again, co-creative process, right? Because
Right.
between the artist and the viewer, you know, the person looking at it, it's almost like it gives you an activity to get you to understand and appreciate art. It gets you involved to
Right.
make you think, you know, if you want to put the dot on the I and the cross the T thing and whatever, but it's like tying the loose strings in a way. It gives the
Right.
viewer a way to be involved instead of just looking at something that, you know what I mean? It makes you question.
Right.
It makes you
Right.
go to an action mode. That's what I'm trying to say. You know,
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
this one, but it's fun to look at. But it's almost like, oh, is this bloody? It is bloody. And then like the way the body, you know. Yeah, everyone, you have to look at this. So again, the article's up on blendradioandtv.com. The link is in the show notes and be featured in an upcoming issue of Big Weekly Blend magazine. But you can just go on blendradioandtv.com and just type in humor, art, Victoria. It'll come up pretty easy and quick because, you know, you could be listening to this a year or so later down the road. The other thing is To Helga with Love, Philip Evergood.
Yes.
Let's talk about him because this is to me really an interesting piece because this is an interesting person. His art looks like two pictures were merged together, yet it's black and white. It's like, is it it's a pencil or charcoal or something? But let's talk about that because it's
Okay.
this is a very fascinating piece because of where the
Okay.
face, it's like he decorated around the face. He made fun of the
Yes.
face.
Well, it's, yeah. Philip
Helga.
Evergood was a real important artist. I mean, really, really well known artist. around the 1940s, maybe a little earlier than that, 1940s at least, and 1950s. It was his high point probably. But he did everything. He started working during the Depression. He worked during the World War II years, and he was a probably a socialist. His paintings was what he's most noted for, and his subject matter was dark. Because when you think of the eras that he lived in and the eras that he worked in, I mean, there was a lot of fun stuff going on, and so he was apt to have such subject matter. Even though he was, very well trained as a classical artist, his subject matter and his pictures were full of cartoon-like characters, people that in some cases look like they didn't have any joints. They just had a loose sort of loose arms, and then other he was in living in New York for a good deal of the time, and his pictures are crowded with characters that were sort of all mashed together. The color was the all the color it was colorful, but yet each color was kind of grayed down. It was like it was each color was a was dirty color, like
It's
it had
subdued.
some black,
Yeah.
some black. Well, it was, I mean, it wasn't, I would call, earth colors maybe subdued colors, but I mean, even his reds were dirty.
He's a
He
dirty
was
boy.
he was expressing his feelings undoubtedly about what was going on around him. So then toward the end of his career, like in the 50s, he started working more in etching. He always knew how to do it, but he really didn't do it in very much until he got into the 1950s. And then he produced a lot of etchings. The Helga is one, and it looked to me like it was an unfinished etching, that for the faces is so well realized. I mean, the face looks like it could have been done during the Renaissance, a picture of a Madonna. It starts out that way, and then it's like maybe he set it aside or something, or something happened to interrupt him, some personal thing, and he got all cartoony and in line drawings from this really well realized face. Everything from there on is done very quickly and sort of haphazardly, and he winds up autographing it, and he autographed a few. And we're used to people signing their name to their work, but he didn't do this. He wrote a statement, and it was it wound up being to Helga, and there's more to it than that. But and then one of her hands, she's holding a $1,000 bill, and we. I mean, this is more like a personal message, but he reproduced it. He reproduced it as an artwork. So I'm assuming that there wasn't an actual Helga who got one of these, and who maybe didn't realize that another 50 were printed. So more people got the message than Helga.
Well, I find this interesting because of the socialist part of it. And so I go into like a different weird place with this because even the hands look male, right? And so I feel like the face, her face, that's why I go, it's like it's subdued, but it's really a strong face. And the way it's done is beautiful. It's incredible art, right? That face. Then all the squirrely cartoony stuff with $1,000, and you think back then what $1,000 was, right? So this was 1965 from what I see. So when I look at this, I almost feel like he it, like definitely just even Helga, I have like a weird voice in my head whenever I that sounds terrible, but I sorry to any Helga out there, but it's just the way this picture is. Like I hear this kind of sarcastic Helga's got the money kind of thing, and like almost it's almost a feminist thing in a weird way because of the male hands, right? And yet she's wearing gloves, I'm just going to pay you
Right.
off kind of thing. It's like I'm paying this off. And it's
Yeah.
very, because she's very regal face. That's a face of royalty. Like
Right,
I'm,
right.
you know, and the Helga, you know, that's why I'm doing the Helga. Remember that Seinfeld episode where he got mad, everyone got mad at Seinfeld for going, hello. Well, now it's stuck in my head. So Helga is now my new thing. I'll be doing it all day. But it seems like he's got her classy, yet her arm, even the way her arm is backwards holding out the money. You know what I mean? It's like
Yeah.
someone, it's unnatural. Yet the other arm that is going towards her is normal, yet it's still a hand that's male. That is not a female hand, but it's got a glove on it. So that's also a thing. And then the headdress thing to me now goes way back to the Renaissance times. Like, look at me, la-di-da. It's kind of weird. It's like it's
Well,
almost like
it
he
is.
knows this woman really well, and they have all kinds of weird interpersonal joke things, and he's
Right.
like, you know, maybe she's just a, you know, she could have been a dirty hippie. Not that all hippies are dirty. I'm just saying, you know, we don't know. I mean, she could be, you know, completely opposite because he didn't do her hair the way it probably is. And they might have, I don't know, it could have been they had so much wine when he was doing this or something. Maybe he
Well,
did it as a live thing.
the one thing about art that's so wonderful is, as we can look at any piece of art and we can make stories up
All day
about it,
long.
you know, and yeah, all day long and into the weekend even. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll have to go take another look at the image and check out the hands more closely.
The hands. But that is a big hand. That's a male hand because of the nails. Look at the hands and the nails.
Yeah.
I mean, mine are kind of look like that in a way because I'm not girly with my hands, but listen, I take care of animals. You don't have, you know, so maybe she does. Maybe he's like, actually, you could be this way, you know? And maybe Helga's a boy. You don't know. You never know.
No, we don't.
See?
You
Look at the
know.
face. Look at the face again. Yeah, I'm just saying. Oh, this is fun. Can we do more of this, Victoria? This is like one of the most fun things ever. He's like,
Well,
I'm
you
all
know,
into him now, like this artist. This is cool.
when you look at, you know, I just put a few, you know, a very few examples in the in this article, you know, from the original paragraph that we talked about, I think, which was the count whatever it was help me out here.
What are you talking about? Just the art and humor?
The tow truck
Oh
and the
yes, the
guy with
tow truck, the forage.
the hair trans headdress. So you've got those and that, and the quality of the work is refined, it's beautiful, it's elegant, it's a really good example of the type of medium that he was using. And then you go down to Phil Evergood, and you look at the how he's morphed the really great talent that he has, you know, into more than a cartoon. It's actually not, it's almost scribbling, except it's scribbling with meaning. And so the lines are ambiguous, you know, like you see, you're not sure is that arm going forward or backward. And then you come down, and I think we're getting closer to cartoons when we see Phil's work. And then I also collect I didn't I collect collect cartoons actually. If I'll see a cartoon I really like, and I'll contact the artist, and many times his original work is for sale. So
Oh,
there are some
cool.
cartoons that I have purchased the artist has actually signed, and I have those framed, and I have them up. And
Fun.
I always I love people's ability to express ideas
Just wit.
oh
It's
gosh,
about wit. It's like,
yeah, it's that and humor in very few lines or very few colors. I really do. I know I sometimes I'll have people over and they'll be really surprised that I have a cartoon on my wall. And this cartoon, which I think is hysterical, really their experience have not been the same as mine. And so they don't think it's that funny.
Well, yeah.
Not as
Well, I
not so
that's
so
comedy, you know?
yeah,
It's
it becomes kind of a private humor between me and the cartoonist that did it. And probably
yeah.
millions of other people, you know, but some people don't get it, and that's okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
But it's a weird thing
but
'cause it's like I got it, you didn't get it.
right,
Or the person goes,
but
you're
still,
laughing at something that's so immature. That's, you know what I mean? So what I love about this
right.
is it takes art and kind of reminds art to not be over the top la-di-da. Like, come on,
Yeah.
get real, because part of emotion is humor. And we forget
Right.
that, I think, in
It
art
can't.
sometimes.
Well, we do either that or the opposite. We focus on it so much that we forget to look at the cartoon itself from an artistic standpoint and how it's laid out. If you look at each individual, for a strip cartoon, for instance, you look at each panel is laid out in a way that is logical and aesthetic, and the composition is carefully thought out. You know, you may not realize it because you're focusing on the joke, but
Yeah.
if you analyze the frame, everything that's within the framework of the panel, you'll see that he's following compositional. Now, I hate to use the word rules, but general compositional formulae that are proven to work, and that almost every artwork in the world at any time has followed the same kind of rules, whether they thought of them as rules or not. They automatically lay things out in an organization. So I'm not expressing that particularly well, but I think we do
No,
forget how
I'm
good
saying,
cartoonists are.
no, I think you're really right about it. I'm not saying that you didn't do it well. I think you did. And the thing too is, when you look at cartoons, they have to have a consistency. So it's almost like they have to duplicate what they just did in the first frame to the next and just tweak it up again, and then
Yeah.
duplicate it again, tweak it up again, right? To it's like you know, if someone's just sitting at a table and they say something, and then the next frame has to have the person sit at the table, but then there's another movement and another thing, right? And the artist that you have didn't have to do too much in regards to editorial, you know, but you do have to get to it. But Philip Evergood, man, that's going to be one of those that don't you want to be the fly on the wall?
Well,
That's
I'm
like
not
a whole
sure,
scandal. That, I
but
mean, there's almost like a
now,
Marie Antoinette thing going there to me.
right,
It's
yeah.
you know, and I think about the political history and everything there with him too. I kind of like, ooh, there's other statements here, but it's really funny, you know. It's
Yes,
there's like
yes,
even the
yes,
$1,000, like, here's your handout or not, you know. It's odd. It's odd, like in that you could just go down, you could write a book on it of total gossip. It's people watching. That's exactly what
Yeah.
it is. This is people watching through art, you know, and wondering what really happened, you know. But yeah, whereas at the same time, when we go from him and we go back to Ed Abrams from the beginning that we were talking about, like, he's straight up, you get it immediately, you know. But
Yes,
Philip Evergood gave us
even
a little mystery of funny. It's still funny, you know.
there's could be many stories there in
I
Philip
like that.
Evergood's work.
And again, then we have Lund. We don't know
Yes,
what his first
yes.
name
I
is.
and I re I wish I've never seen anything else by him. I bought him in Silver City. I bought that piece of work in Silver City, and it was part of work that was being sold, various prints that were being sold by Members Region Arts Council,
Oh,
and
wow.
that one just grabbed me. And but I couldn't find any other work that he had done, and nobody at the time knew his first name. So,
Wow, that's interesting.
he's a mystery man. He's a mystery artist to me, but I'm glad I got a piece of his work, and I will continue to look for more. But you don't know, maybe he doesn't make anything else. Maybe his life was cut short. I have no idea. But
Wow, another mystery.
that's
Well,
we're
yeah,
lucky. It's kind of neat. You've got these artists through history. Some of them, like Lund, might be their history might be closer in time for a person that now you can't find anything else about him or more work that he did.
well, I wonder about pen names, right? Like authors have pen names. And like, you could have someone in some of them take a female will take on a male name, vice versa, and or they'll do like Sidney Sheldon. It's like, you think about certain people's names, like Sidney could go either way, right? So you could have a
Yeah,
name going
right.
either in any way that you want. So as an artist, it could be that you've been typecast in something, it's like Norman Rockwell. Everyone knows what Norman Rockwell. This is the style. This is, you can already see it in your mind, right? This
Yeah,
is a Norman
yes.
Rockwell. Rembrandt, Matisse, all of, well, Matisse plays around, but you know what I mean. It's like, here I'm typecast. So maybe Norman Rockwell went around and did a whole bunch of other art we don't know about under a different name that no one knows. That's what I'm saying. And I think artists do that too. They're like, here, it's like a whole other thing, and maybe that's what they really want to do. It's like we
Yeah.
keep threatening to do radio shows that are under different names because we have other things to say, and then maybe we
Yeah.
shouldn't. You're not supposed to do that. So
I've never known an artist who doesn't want recognition.
yeah, but maybe they could
With
have a
writers,
whole cult following, right? That's the thing. They create a cult
yeah.
following. And I mean that in a pot, not like, the other cults. I mean, like, they get this off,
yeah.
underground kind of following. And a lot of musicians have gone into that where
Yeah.
they're bigger there and it's harder because then they have to be on stage. But they could have this whole following and not know that actually Brahms was playing rock guitar the whole time. He just didn't realize
Yeah.
it. You know what I mean?
Who
It's
knew? Who
just
knew?
I know,
Yeah.
who knew, right? It's fun, but I understand the recognition is there, but you can get recognition in different ways today, in today's
Yeah.
world, especially.
I'm on
Back then, maybe not.
Earl Stanley Gardner was a well-known writer at one time, and he also wrote under another name. And it was not, and also Agatha Christie wrote things under other names. So that's not unknown. I'm not sure why they did that. What
Because they
maybe
have
they maybe they're
contracts.
well maybe they were testing themselves to say, am people buying this because of who I am, and they think it will be good because of what I've done,
Oh.
or so that could be a reason that they might do
Or
that, or
ghostwriting, right? There are a lot of ghostwriters, and
yeah.
that's how they make their bread and butter, and then they want their one masterpiece, They work on this big
Yeah.
masterpiece. They get the big masterpiece, but they've been living off of being a ghostwriter because they're good.
Well, that we'll never know. We'll just have to appreciate the art where we find it,
Dang.
I guess.
This is a fun conversation, Victoria. Yeah, I like this. Now I'm going to call all my writing people and say, come on, let's do a pen name thing.
I
I mean, it would be kind of cool. Well, it's an alter ego, right? That's why we like Halloween and stuff. It's like we can be something
hope.
different for a day. So that's what it is. It gives you this other creative outlet where you don't have to conform to what is sellable. That's the thing. It's about the sellability of something. So, Lund may be some, I mean, he could be someone super famous that we don't know that wanted to do this instead.
Well,
Or just for
and
as a different outlet.
he came to Silver City to escape the mob of adoring fans
Ooh.
that were after him. Okay,
Beating down
there's our
his
story.
door.
There's our new story.
Oh, he's got, no, wait, he's got, maybe Lent is a woman. You don't know.
No, I
Do you
don't.
know?
No, I don't.
Oh, Lund could be a woman. She'll be a crazy cat woman. Always back to the cat.
I think you may have something there.
Uh-oh, is it you, Victoria?
I'll never tell.
Oh, this was so much fun. Everyone, I keep up with Victoria at victoriachick.com. Again, the articles on blendradioandtv.com. Oh man, this has been fun. Thank you so much, Victoria. I love this.
You're welcome. Safe, stay safely in Texas for a while, and we'll see you next time.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to Big Blend Radio. You can view Victoria Chick's artwork at victoriachick.com. Keep up with us at bigblendradio.com.